Upfront Inside Atlanta's entertainment industry is brought to you by Art 8 Productions. Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to Jameel Jude about directing Paradise Blue. Gospel singer and songwriter Keandra Lockett is here to chat about her new album, and rising film star Diallo Thompson from Art 8 Productions is here to chat about his upcoming event, The Insider's Table. I'll also be playing music from Keandra Lockett, as well as Shirley Horn and George Michael. But first, here's a word from our underwriters.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the High Museum of Art, now on view at the High. Something over something else, Romare Bearden's profile series. The exhibition is inspired by Bearden's earliest memories as a boy in North Carolina in the 1910s and concludes with his life as a young artist in Harlem in the early 1940s. Now through February 2nd, 2020. Ticket information is available at high.org.
Come, my love, with me across the sea. Return to paradise. All in life worthwhile is on that isle.
Wake up. This is Spike Lee listening to my man, Ray Cornelius, up front, 91.9. WCLK.
My first guest is the newly installed artistic director of Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company, Jameel Jude. He stopped by up front this week to chat about directing their current production of Paradise Blue and their new season focusing on female empowerment. Jameel Jude, welcome back to up front. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me back. Always great to be with you.
Yeah. So you guys have this amazing new show that is taking place right now at the Southwest Arts Center, Paradise Blue. Got an opportunity to check out the sneak preview, or I should say the last dress rehearsal.
Yeah, invited dress rehearsal. Yep. Uh-huh.
Which was really, really cool because I got an opportunity to see just everything about it. And we were talking offline about you guys have Russell Gunn, who is an amazing trumpeter, who's taking a part in this show, a major role in this show. And to kind of see him and the actor, I can't think of his name right
Javon
now.
Javon Johnson.
Man, to see them play together was just, I loved it.
Yeah, and you know, to watch them actually kind of find the show together has been really nice. Russell, we know he's an extremely talented, you know, jazz musician and trumpeter and kind of just all-around music person. But watching him kind of dissect the show, adding his own, like, dramaturgical influence and just from a musical perspective, he's like, hey, you know, hey, I'm watching these actors move around in the space, and here's what I think. And he just, like, kind of composes something on the spot, and it's almost always perfect. So kind of watching him learn the show, watching the actor, and then watching them together has been one of the, like, you know, small treats of being able to direct this one.
And he's so on it. I mean, I would watch Russell and I'd watch him and every move that it was almost like your reflection.
Oh, sure.
Your shadow.
Yeah, shadow. Yeah.
I mean, it really was every move that he made. Russell was right there. And every move that give me his name one more time.
Javon Johnson.
Javon made Russell was able to do it. So it was just, I love that.
Yeah. You know, and Javon himself has kind of grown as a trumpet player too. Like the first time he picked it up, like not able to produce any type of sound. And then now like in between moments, because Russell has, you know, taught him the fingerings, the trumpet fingerings, he can get a couple of notes out. You know, he keeps on asking, like, you know, one day you should let me play. I was like, well, you know, your character is supposed to be a really dynamic trumpet player. We may not let you get there, but he's definitely working hard. Yeah. And Javon's a great actor. You know, he'll be in Tyler Perry's upcoming The Oval. He's been on The Hate U Give and stuff like that. So, you know, people would, if they don't know his name, they'll definitely remember and recognize his face.
I remember him as the very strict father on the quad. He was the father to Larry Rim, who's a CAU alum. Let's talk about this show, because this is actually the third play from Dominique Morisseau. Mm-hmm. And a playwright that is, I call her the new August Wilson, because she has been focusing on Detroit and the issues of gentrification and racial injustice in that city from 1960 and until what, current times?
Yeah. So, you know, the thing I love about Dominique, you know, yes, she has these trilogy of plays, and True Colors is the first theater company in the entire nation to do all three plays. So we're really, really proud of that. Like you said, she has such a laser focus on her city. She knows it well. She's interested in the dynamics and the ways in which how society has been built in Detroit affects the day-to-day lives of the people. So what she gives us these settings, like this place set in 1949 in Black Bottom neighborhood of Detroit, which was an all-black neighborhood at the time. And it's set in the days following the election of Mayor Kobo, who was this really racist mayor who ran his campaign on removing the blight from the city of Detroit. So now that's the circumstance that these people find themselves in. But what we really focus on inside the play is like, well, what does it mean for a community to have a communal space? This jazz club, Paradise Blue. Paradise Club is the name of the jazz club and run by a man named Blue. Who this club was given to him by his father. But for Blue, this place isn't that great. Like, he has a lot of demons. His father was fairly abusive. So this place does not have that same type of legacy to him. It means something different. But for the other people, the trumpet player, the percussionist, the woman who works behind the bar, who's also in relationship with Blue, the piano man, like, this means something different, and they don't want to see it go. So the play really is about them battling, well, who owns this club? Is it the person whose name is on the bill, or is it the people who make it? And I think that's a really interesting conversation whenever we talk about community.
Yeah.
We talk about the city of Atlanta. Who makes up Atlanta, right? Who owns something? And I'm really happy that we're able to bring this to folks here in Southwest.
Yeah. And then we have Miss Silver, who enters the story and just wrecks shop.
Yeah. You know, Silver is that classic noir type. She's from Louisiana. She has a little bit of Southern drawl, both in her speech and in her walk, and really just kind of throws things in motion. She has dreams and ideas and plans, you know, and when you're talking about 1949, she was a driven woman. And I think that scares a lot of people. But she brings in a little bit of a drive and really sets some things in motion for the play that I think would not have gone that way had it not been. And that's why Dominique's such a great writer. She knows exactly, all right, this play needs an infusion of this type of energy. And Silver comes in right at the right moment in the play. And then, I think audiences are on for a ride once she saunters into the space.
Because you're the director of the show, was that intentional? Because I it reminds me of Robin Givens in A Rage in Harlem,
mm-hmm.
and the craze that she created during the time that film came out, and that red dress that she was in, that we found out that she was literally sewn into that dress. And that's kind of how I feel that Silver is, like, sewn into whatever it is that she has on, because she's right, and that walk is crazy.
Wait, so one thing Dominique does say in the character description is that the character has to have a mean, and I think it's like ME 5000 A's 3000 N's walk. I think that's important, right? Like, anytime you cast a show, you want to make sure that you cast the best actress. And I think we found that in Tangela Large, who is from the city of Atlanta. She is a Tri-Cities alumni.
Wow.
She's a Freddie Hendrix YEA alumni. Excuse me. I don't think she went to Tri-Cities. But, we wanted to make sure that we found a talented actress who can act the role. I think the blessing is, hey, Tangela found, like, okay, if that's what this character is and her walk is so important to Dominique, let me go find that. So just in the physicality of how you build a character, Tangela found a place to start from and moved from that. And I think all the actors have done that. Cynthia Barker, who plays Pumpkin, is doing a really great job.
Yeah.
Of course, Enid King, done. You don't even have to say anything else. But Javon Johnson and Keith Arthur Bolden, I think all of them have found their own unique way into their characters. You know, some of them are starting from a physical place. Some of them are starting from a line place. But they've all found this nuance that really makes the show really strong.
And when you were thinking of the show, did you have these actors in mind? Because I really feel like Keith was perfect for his role. Enoch was perfect for his role. And Cynthia is just so, she's so innocent. Pumpkin is just, you can't help but fall in love with her as soon as she comes out on stage. Was that intentional? Did you know that this is who you wanted?
Yeah, I think I always, when I'm casting a show, I always try to think about rhythms. I mean, it's ironic that I'm doing a show about jazz music, because I had a mentor of mine named Marion McClinton, who was one of, like, I think August Wilson only had three directors on Broadway: Lloyd Richards, Kenny Leon, and Marion McClinton. I've been honored to be mentored by two of them. But Marion would always say plays are like jazz music. And, I grew up in the hip hop age. So, you know, I always tried to fight that and say, no, you know, it could be a little hip hop, but like it's jazz. And so I always try to look for and hear the rhythms of the actors. I think what we were really blessed about is that all of the actors fit the rhythms of their characters. So I may not have had the specific actor in mind, but I knew what I wanted the play to sound like. So when they came in and they delivered it and they played the same music as what I read the play in my head, then I knew we found gold.
Thank you, Jamil. Go to WCLK.com and listen to the rest of our conversation and learn more about WCLK Night at True Colors production of Paradise Blue, taking place on Wednesday, October 16th.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company, presenting Paradise Blue, September 24th through October 20th at the Southwest Arts Center, with live original music from Russell Gunn. Every night follows the story of a trumpeter named Blue, who is considering selling his once thriving jazz club. A sultry woman with a mysterious past enters the scene with her own plans and turns everyone's lives upside down. Ticket information is available at truecolorstheater.org.
Even though it's hard, I try. Won't ever let the cold world get the best of me. Keep my head up high like the sunrise. Even though it's hard, I try each and every day. Every time I fall, I get back on my feet. I know that I can make it if
Hi, this is Cece Winans, and you're listening to Upfront, hosted by Ray Cornelius.
That was music from my second guest, gospel sensation Keandra Lockett. She has a new album out with a single that is climbing the charts. And stop by Upfront to chat about that and more. Congratulations on your new album.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Okay. What was the inspiration behind this particular project?
Well, it's called The Heal, so obviously healing, you know. I've gone through so many things, as normal human beings do. But I felt like writing about it, you know. Each song is individually penned, relating to a situation that's happened to me before. And I feel like they're all relatable, you know.
Is that kind of how you your writing process is kind of based off of what you're going through right
Yeah,
now?
Yeah, experiences. And, of course, I try my best to line everything up with biblical principle. I mean, I am a gospel artist, you know, I should do that. Yeah. But, you know, it's all about, you know, life and how you handle it and how you allow God to deal with it. And I wanted people to get in on that.
Your sound, I mentioned that offline. It crosses to me all music genres. So there's a little bit of gospel, there's a little bit of pop, there's a little bit of Christian, there's a little bit of easy soft rock.
Right, yeah.
Is that intentional? Was that, or is it, does it just come out that way?
You know, it's the music that I listen to. So I'm influenced by almost everything, you know, and so I just want to make sure that I'm free and able to do whatever it is that I, you know, want to do. I'm an independent artist, so I have the autonomy to do whatever I want. So if I hear something out there that's, you know, not gospel based, I'm going to add it in my stuff, you know, and hopefully everybody likes it. And yeah. They do.
Yeah, no, because when I was listening, I was like, wow, it was something just different. Very different.
Wow.
And yeah, I really like that.
Struggle don't last always. Glad to tell you it won't last always. Won't come when you want. He's on time. Fire get hot. Put it out. Weeping may endure for night. Keep the faith.
Let's talk about, you're the first gospel artist to have a doll in your likeness. So what was the story behind that? Because that's just, I mean, that just doesn't happen.
Right. Okay. So because it doesn't happen, I was floored that the lady who I was talking with, she was a consultant of mine back in 2016. She shared with me that she thought it would be really great for me to do this licensing deal with a toy company from the early 90s, the doll maker of the Kenya doll. And I was like, wow, this would be, you know, really dope. It would be really big and great for me. And so we got a chance to sit down with the toy maker, and she loved me, and you know, that was that. I'm really excited about it, though, because it really helps young girls to understand, you know, who they are. It gives them another piece of who they are. You know, representation matters. We need to see black dolls, black clothing lines. I have a black clothing line. Jolie Noir, amen. It stands for pretty black in French. And so, yeah, I'm just all about, you know, female empowerment, but us empowerment, too. you know?
Yeah. Let's talk about that clothing line. Okay. That's a huge undertaking.
Yes. Well, my sister and I, we got a chance to sit down together and rebrand because we had a line some years back, and we decided that we would put it to the side because I used to sing in a gospel group. Things got really heavy for us, and, you know, we just laid that down. But we decided that we would do this effort, and we want to make sure that we're contributing to the whole My Black is Beautiful, you know, pot. And I think that, you know, you can't get too many more messages like that at all. I think we need to every day scream that My Black is Beautiful and let another Black woman know your Black is beautiful, you know?
Yeah. In addition to your own music, you write for a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. You're an in-demand songwriter. How does that come to you? How do those songs, because again, you yourself cross so many musical genres. So how do you, you know, pinpoint for another artist who may just be like full gospel or, right. you know?
I think it's important as a songwriter to know the artist that you're writing for. You know, I listen to almost everybody in gospel. And if I feel like, you know, that's something that I want to, or rather they're an artist that I want to pursue as it relates to writing for them, then I'm going to go and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to listen, you know, make sure that I give my all, because I usually do the demos as well. And so I'm going to make sure that I give it my all so that they can buy it. You know what I'm saying? Buy in on it, rather. If it doesn't sound like them, they're not going to want it, you know. So know the artist. And that's what I try to do.
How can our listeners follow you on social media?
Okay, well, please follow me on all of my accounts. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Keyondra Lockett, KeyondraLockett. If you want to know about all of my whereabouts and where I'll be next, just go to www.keyondralockett.com.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Life Lux Jazz, November 7th through the 11th on the beaches of Los Cabos, Mexico. This year's festival lineup includes Incognito, Mesa, Kirk Whalum, Gerald Albright, and more. In addition to the music, there will also be health and wellness activities, a Spirit of Jazz brunch, and Sunset Cruise. Information is available at LifeLuxJazz.com. That's LifeLuxeJazz.com.
This is Coleman Domingo, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My last segment features rising film star Diallo Thompson and his father, Randall Thompson. The two are here to discuss their upcoming event, The Insider's Table, which is aimed at empowering young talent interested in television, film, and music. They'll also be discussing their upcoming film project and more. Well, Diallo and Randall Thompson, welcome to Upfront. How are you guys?
I'm doing good, man.
Doing great.
Great
man.
Day.
Great yeah. to be here.
Hi, outside. Yeah,
I know, right? Well, I'm so happy to have you here. Let me just first of all say how proud I am of you. I've taken pictures of you, Diallo, over the years at red carpet premieres.
Yeah.
And all the things that you've been involved in as an actor here in Atlanta. So really, really proud of who you've become.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah. I feel like I've definitely seen you like all over the place, and it's like you probably seen me grow up at this point because yeah. it's been so long now.
It's been about all these probably about 7 years. Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, but well, you guys are here to talk about this amazing event, the Insider's Table, that's being presented by your company, Art 8 Productions. Mr. Thompson, how did that all come together? How did you guys come up with Art 8 Productions?
Well, we have a passion, you know, for the arts and for film and music. I grew up being a musician. I played bass guitar, I used to play in bands, and had my family come up doing music and then acting, and then we got into filmmaking. I always wanted to do that. And we really just wanted to do some of our own projects. And so we said kind of we have some goals that we want to meet and the kind of things we want to see in film. And he said, if you want to do that, I've always been the type of person, if you want to do it, sometimes you have to do it yourself.
Exactly.
So that's kind of where we are with that.
Yeah. And for me, it's like, you know, I've been acting since I was like 8 years old, doing different plays, doing different musicals, TV, film. And as much as I love acting, I'm also someone who loves to create. That's why I started doing music as well. And I've always had different ideas and different stories in my head. And as much as I love acting, at the end of the day, it's kind of like you're taking on someone else's life or taking on someone else's story that you get hired on to be a part of. And I'm like, all right, well, I kind of want to create my own stuff, create my own stories, and be able to shoot it and achieve my own goal and act in it, you know. And that's kind of like why I wanted to do Art 8 Productions and be able to tell stories of people like me, because for like a lot of people who look like me, black boys, a lot of the stories are more on the from the hood, boys in the hood, menace to the side, you know what I mean, stuff like that. And they get to you go to those movies, you get to watch and experience those type of stories, people that come from that cloth. And that's great, but I don't really get to see a lot of people who come from my cloth, because I didn't necessarily grow up in the hood. You know, I grew up around a bunch of black boys who grew up and we just played basketball, you know, made music, liked to have fun. We weren't doing crimes or anything like that, but we have tons of crazy and interesting stories ourselves. And you don't get to see a lot of stuff like that. You know, a good example, like Dope. I love that movie. Just different movies like that, that I thought, man, we should create more stories like that. And if, like you said, if I want to do it, I got to do it myself. Yeah. So that was my goal when it comes to doing the production company, you know.
And so you guys have this amazing event that's coming up on October 12th, the Insiders Table, which really allows individuals who are wanting to get into the entertainment industry to come and get that education. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay, Dad. The Insiders Table, we did want to provide that opportunity. So two of the main goals with the workshop is we wanted to target actors and people in music in terms of songwriters, producers. So for acting, we wanted to show what it takes to be successful in acting in Atlanta, in this market. So we have an agent there from J. Purvis Talent, Jerron Matthews. We have another acting coach there. So we want to be able to do things there from the acting perspective, in terms of we may do some cold reads or stuff for some of the actors who show up. But also, what do you need to do before you try to get an agent? Because a lot of people say, just go get an agent and then you can start acting. Well, there's more to it than that. So this workshop will help give them that information. But also on the music side, we want to focus on making money with your music. So getting placements in TV, film, and with actors. So we have AJ Jackson. He's a Grammy Award winning music manager, and he manages Looney Tunes, who's won Grammys with songs been placed with Rihanna, with Future, that sort of thing. So he's going to be there. And then we have Matthew Steele, who has a company called Steele Sync, and he focuses on getting your music placed in TV and film. And so you come to him, and, you know, so we just wanted to provide that kind of information for people in the workshop.
Right, because, like, when it comes to the industry, what a lot of people, when they're first starting out, they don't realize that there's a lot of different avenues to make money with your art. It's not just about, well, let me try to get viral on Twitter. And, you know, there's different ways you could do it, and placements is a big deal. Getting placements in video games or movies or things that most people might not think about. A lot of people don't have that information, and we just want to provide that to the people that are here in Atlanta, on the grind, working every day, and you know, they just need information. Information is key. So we want to provide the opportunity for people around here, yeah.
Yeah. Now, in addition to the workshops, there's also a special screening of your film, Diallo, The Life of Mine. Let's talk about that film.
Yes, yes. The Life of Mine, it is an independent feature film. This is our first official feature that we've done as a production company. We shot it this year. It is a hip-hop musical. So we wanted to come in a different way where me and my sister, we sat down, we wrote, and we recorded every single song that's in the movie. And we wanted to use those songs to tell a story about us, two siblings, a brother and a sister, who are going through this conflict because she ends up getting a new boyfriend who Alo, which is my character, has had a difficult past with.
Okay.
And Alo's trying to get her to realize who this person really is before it's too late. And we sat down and wrote all the music and really wanted to tell a story through the music and come with something different, you know. And that's going to be at October 12th at 5 o'clock after the workshop, and we're really excited. The cast is going to be there. We're going to have to take pictures, have a good time, questions answered, all that stuff. So,
yeah. Why now, Dad? Why the Insiders table right now?
Well, we saw an opportunity to coincide with our film coming out. So we want to release our film sometime next year. We wanted to do some pre-screenings this year, and we wanted to have some events. And we said, well, you know, if we can do this too, because we always want to teach, we wanted to do different workshops and to give back, and because we want to help the community in Atlanta grow its entertainment, anything we can do to help with that. So we just thought this would be a great time for that.
As a parent who has actually more than one talented child, what advice would you give to parents that are listening to the show about, you know, I've got this kid with all this energy and they want to get into the arts and they can sing, they can dance, they can act. What advice would you give to them?
Well, I think, well, what you said in the first thing is key. You said they could sing, they could do this. It's the first thing is kind of, you have to get to the point of being realistic about your talent level and potential, because there's a lot of parents that just say, my kid has all this talent, and, you know, so.
And they really don't.
Yeah, so you need to get out and test it. But if they do and you want to support it, as a parent, you got to realize it's going to be a major commitment of time and money, and you have, depends on what they do, you might have vocal lessons, acting lessons, you're trying to get them in plays, you're taking them to rehearsals, so there's a lot there. We as parents are committed to that. We love that, you know, me being in arts anyway, so we didn't mind that, you know, but as a parent, you have to be cognizant of that, but then seek out training, you know, what do they want to do? If they want to sing, find out who are the best vocal coaches or top five in town and start them in vocal lessons. If they're dance or if they're acting, all of it takes training. So what I say, first thing is you need to get training, and they have to get ongoing training. And then you have to network, get out and get to know people, go to workshops, because that's a great way to network. If you can get out and find it, because a lot of workshops going on in town in your area, there's meetup groups. You can find meetup groups that may do something in the area you want to go, but it's all about networking and putting in the work.
Yeah. Where can our listeners go to get more information about the Insiders Table?
They can go to our website. We have a website for the film. It's called thelifeofmindmovie.com. So they can go there. This information is also listed on Eventbrite. My son has his social media.
Yeah, I always update people, whether it's my music, whether it's any event I'm coming up or any films that I'm going to be in, on my social media. And on Instagram, that's at Allo Thompson. That's A-L-L-O Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N. And you could just type in Diallo Thompson for Facebook as well as Twitter. I always update people on there. So that's where you go to get that information.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for being guests today on Upfront. And you can also get that information at WCOK.com. Best of luck for the Insiders Table.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that'll do it for this weekend's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Jamil Jude, Keandra Lockett, Diallo Thompson, and Randall Thompson. I'd also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next Saturday, October 12th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's entertainment industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's entertainment industry has been brought to you by Art 8 Productions, presenting the Insiders Table on October 12th and online at eventbrite.com.